Welcome back, folks. Tuesdays at 11 o'clock, we always spend some time with folks that have contributed to the New Orleans Coalition and their initiatives in the city. These are difference makers each and every day, down in the trenches, working hard, coordinating with a lot of volunteers, raising dollars to backfill, to fund and finance so many different activities and critical activities, too, because the assets and resources are not there as it relates to the city or state government. And these are things that obviously need to get done. And it's been some of the most rewarding conversations that I've had since I've been on radio, which will be 8 years on September 11th. And today's no different. We're visiting with Melanie Talia, president and CEO of the New Orleans Police and Justice Foundation. Melanie, welcome to the show.
Sure. Good morning, Newell. Thanks for having us. How are you today?
Doing well. Doing well. Can't complain. Melanie, if you don't mind, I really want to jump into the Teneo report relative to the French Quarter. I think it's appropriate, especially as a result of yesterday's happening in New York City, where these random acts looking for places that are kind of high profile. As it turns out, this was directed, it looks as though, to the NFL, but you never know. And, you know, this harkens back to that tragic New Year's Eve night here in the French Quarter.
Absolutely, Newell. You know, and to echo something you just said, that there are organizations working hard to fund and finance what city government can't or won't. And the Police Foundation certainly fits that definition. Immediately on the heels of the January 1 attack, we engaged the services of Teneo, a world-renowned risk advisory firm. They came in, they did an assessment of the city, you know, primarily the French Quarter, but not only the French Quarter. They stayed through Super Bowl, they stayed through Mardi Gras. They made some recommendations. And here we are almost 8 months later without really seeing any progress from the administration on any of those recommendations.
So what do we attribute that to? I mean, is there no one that's been assigned to this task? I mean, obviously everyone went to the mic. Everyone said this was of utmost importance. Everyone said this was critical, the type of city that we are, you know, and what we have at risk and what we could possibly lose. This is very disturbing news, to say the least.
It absolutely, Noel. Yeah, I think we all expected a decision to come from the mayor's office, and then that didn't happen. And we expected some action to come from the city council, and that didn't happen. And as we moved along, it is an election year, so there's lots going on with that. But at the end of the day, I think that what we can say is, effectively, there has been a decision to not shut down the French Quarter just through inaction. Just through inaction. And now, you know, not only did we have 14 innocent lives lost on January 1, just 2 weeks ago, we had a New Orleans police officer in the hospital with a head injury, and we had a sheriff's deputy also injured because somebody's doing burnouts on an open street right there at, I think, Bourbon and Conti. Something's got to be done. We can't keep dilly-dallying. And I know the city wants to do a traffic study. Before long, it's going to be 2027.
Yeah, this is not where I thought this was going. I'm going to be quite honest with you, Melanie. I'm kind of at a loss for words. I mean, because everybody went to the mic. Everybody. No one missed that opportunity.
Look, I would have never guessed that we'd have two vendors cleaning up the French Quarter at the same time. So, the fact that this has not gone anywhere is, it's unfortunate. It just really, really is unfortunate. Not only have we not made a decision on shutting down the quarter, whether it's full pedestrian, partial pedestrian, one block of Bourbon, cross streets, not only have we not made those decisions, but I haven't even heard conversations anymore about equipment. Where's the conversations about the bollards, right? We're coming into budget season. We're going to need RFPs. We're going to need monies dedicated. We need to know what equipment that we need, and we want it to be safe. Obviously, public safety is really our number one concern. But we understand there are businesses and there are residents in the French Quarter, and those people need to be considered. They need their livelihoods. They need to be able to enjoy their homes. And obviously, we have a very historic area of not only New Orleans, but of the entire United States. So whatever equipment we want, not only do we want it to be top-notch public safety, but we also want it to be aesthetically appropriate for our environment.
So do we know whether or not they're deploying the bollards or not?
Yes. The bollards are at times going up and coming down and being moved around. Are they the crash-tested bollards that we'd like to see? I don't believe so. No, not yet. And, you know, we also have to consider emergency vehicles getting in and out of the quarter as we consider the bollard deployment.
Right. So, to the best of your knowledge, then, we don't have an overall strategic plan for the dissemination or implementation of bollards, even just at that level, separate and apart from all the other observations made in Teneo, the Teneo report.
Absolutely. I think a lot of folks look to the superintendent and her command staff to make some of these decisions. And there really is only so much they can do, because we know that if they were to block a street and interfere with someone's ability to get to and from their residence, or interfere with a business's ability to entertain its guests, or even interfere with a parking lot and the ability to go to and from a parking lot, we know the mayor's phone is going to be ringing, and we know the city council members' phones will be ringing. So this decision needs to be made, and it needs to be made by the city administration, taking into consideration everyone's needs. And look, we get it. There's probably no perfect plan, at least not from the get-go, and it's not going to be an easy plan. But we got to start somewhere. And then once we have that initial plan, we can start to alter and make changes. And just think of it as phase one, because once we're successful with Bourbon Street, we might consider expanding it to other parts of the quarter and maybe even other parts of the city.
Yeah, I mean, I don't...
I hear the frustration, Noel. I share it.
I'm flabbergasted. I mean, a lot of time and effort went into this. Obviously, a lot of folks articulated concern, right? And made commitments that this would be resolved.
And the police foundation will continue.
It doesn't seem like anyone's taken one step towards doing that. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but it doesn't sound good.
Sometimes the wheels of justice move slow, Newell. We all know that sometimes they come to a complete screeching halt. And that is that's something that we've got to change. We've got to move forward with this. The Teneo report obviously made several recommendations, including a better communication between agencies and recommending a fusion center. And we have heard the superintendent promote that idea. So we do hope going forward that not only is the possible pedestrianization of Bourbon Street considered from the Teneo report, but that their other recommendations are seriously considered and implemented.
Melanie, is this one of those situations kind of like, and maybe it's your organization, maybe it's not, I don't know. But, I mean, you know, it wasn't until we got the private sector involved in moving things along for the Taylor Swift concert as well as the Super Bowl and able to coordinate a bunch of activities and, you know, the whole nine yards of drawn upon the strengths of that people have of their experiences in the private sector and coordination and logistics and things of that nature to get it done. Is that what it's going to take? I mean, if so, let us start advocating for that right now. I mean, we got too much to lose.
Newell, I do think that's what it's going to take. The Police Foundation has continued to beat the drum on the Teneo report and the recommendations therefrom, whether it's equipment, pedestrianization. Let's get started. Let's do something. We can't just not act. And obviously, we've also heard from FQMD. They, too, have chimed in, and they've said the same thing. It's not going to be a perfect plan, and it's not going to be an easy plan. But let's get a plan in place, and let's start working it until it is a good plan.
I mean, it's really interesting. you know, I've never served in a leadership role in the city of New Orleans as an elected official or otherwise, but I recognize right away that the French Quarter is the jewel. I mean, why, you know, why is it not the focus? I mean, you know, that's what draws.
Absolutely.
I mean, we survive on sales tax dollars, and we're wedded to the tourism industry, and how we cannot or how we let 8 months go by is beyond me, because we're coming into the convention season, right? We're coming into all of those great things that we do and have here in this city in very short order.
And, absolutely. Wow. You know, one of the best things we had going for us was that earlier this year was having Mardi Gras declared a Tier 1 rating, right? This is the special event assessment rating, which brought equipment and supplies to the city during our holiday period that we otherwise would not have had. And we were very, very fortunate to have had that happen. So not only are we coming up on a heavy convention season, we'll have Bayou Classic coming in November, obviously the holidays. New Orleans is a top 10 destination for New Year's Eve. And before you know it, it'll be Sugar Bowl again. And we will literally be 365 days from a terrorist attack, from 14 lives lost, and having for all practical purposes, made no real change to public safety in the French Quarter to protect the jewel of the state of Louisiana.
One of the central themes of the Teneo report was the appropriate utilization of technology. Has there been any movement along those lines in the French Quarter?
Well, as we have seen, the movement along those lines has been in the private sector, as you just mentioned, with the cameras that are around the French Quarter, privately owned cameras on private businesses, and everyone has their right to do that. And those cameras have facial recognition on them. Now, the city council has revisited, and it has been on their council agenda again and again and again. I think it's coming up now in August, an amendment to the technology ordinance that took so much away from our law enforcement officers a few years ago. So they are considering giving some of those tools back, including their ability to use facial recognition to identify the location of wanted subjects, but we are not quite there yet. But that is a recommendation of the Teneo report, that the technology in the quarter and around the city needs to be upgraded, and it needs to include metadata and facial recognition.
Yeah, you know, when you look at the response last evening from the NYPD and their state and federal partners, and the ability that they had to determine a whole lot of things in a very short period of time. I watched the coverage till, I guess, past midnight last night. You know, the mindset has kind of changed in how much information you're going to divulge, how quickly to put the public at ease and everything else. Felt pretty good about, you know, how they handled that. But that's as a result of all the technology they have, the Fusion Center. I don't know if you've been to it. Pretty damn impressive, you know, and they seem to be able to have worked out a lot of these issues. They put on a big New Year's Eve. They block a lot of stuff. I mean, you know,
yeah.
And, you know, it's not a freedom of movement event by any stretch of the imagination. And it is what it is. I mean, but I don't know.
All around us, Newell, all around us, there's facial recognition, and all around us, there are license plate readers, and all around us, there's all this technology that's doing great things for other parishes, other counties, cities, and states. New Orleans seems to be behind the game on this. Hey, look, right next door, our neighbors in Kenner with the Flock system, they've made some incredible arrests lately using Flock. I mean, the technology is out there. It can and it should be used constitutionally. And I think that we have seen that in other places. And it is time for us to let the New Orleans Police Department be the police of the city of New Orleans. Let's give them what they need to keep the community safe. And 100% should safeguards be in place? Yes, we believe that. And we know the superintendent believes that. With the proper safeguards, let's let the police be the police. If someone's wanted and they're standing on the corner of Bourbon and Canal, by all means, let's pick them up.
So where do we go from here? I mean, I don't want to just let this ball drop. I mean, I intend to start making phone calls because this doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, it just really doesn't. I mean, look, I know a lot of the strategic things they've done from manpower deployment changed. That I know has changed because I've seen the cost of it. But that's what begs of the utilization and deployment of technology is to reduce that human capital cost that's out there. And we now find ourselves in a $70 million deficit where before they told us money was no object. I mean, we were just bathing in money, right? I mean, and now we aren't. So we got to get smart about what we're going to do, but doing nothing is not being smart about it.
Agreed. We're in the 21st century. This is modern day policing. And in a city that hosts millions and millions of visitors every year, in addition to keeping our own residents safe, when we've got 900 or so police officers, give or take, we need all the tools of public safety that we can engage. And that includes technology, that includes facial recognition. Again, going back to funding and financing, what the city is not able to. The Police Foundation, we've been supporting the digital forensics unit for several years now, exponentially growing their output by as much as 70%. Growing their output and also supporting the drone unit, not only the implementation of the drones, but also having provided some hardware to the drone unit to enhance that unit. Now on a larger scale, Newell, let's get the Fusion Center up and running. I mean, as you said, the Fusion Center in Baton Rouge is incredible. That is a gorgeous fishbowl, and we need a Fusion Center in New Orleans. As big, major metropolitan city as we are, with millions, 15, 17, 20 million tourists every year, and more to come in the perfect world, we've got to have a Fusion Center.
Well, before we run out of time, this is why we need to support your Stakeout for Justice luncheon, which is scheduled for September 4th. Tell us about it real quick.
September 4th at the Marriott, noontime luncheon. We will be joined by Lieutenant Billy Nungesser. Looking forward to hear what Lieutenant's got to say about the French Quarter and public safety in New Orleans. And it's an opportunity for the community to show how grateful they are for not only the New Orleans Police Department, but also for the Louisiana State Police, that we are the only organization in town who is dedicated to supporting our local and our state police officers with training and equipment and supplies. We'd love for the community to come out and say, thank you, NOPD. Thank you, LSP. We appreciate you.
Melanie Taglia, President and CEO of the New Orleans Police and Justice Foundation. Thank you so much for your time today, and have a great week.
Thank you, Newell. You too, and to your listeners as well.
Thank you. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.